Just kidding. Praise God. Well, it's good to be here. We've been quite busy doing quite a bit of traveling. And in fact, I was planning to fly here, but we ended up driving because we're flying overseas out of Chicago. And we're so busy flying back into our offices that we just couldn't get ourselves organized enough. So we just kind of threw everything in the vehicle and took off. And so here we are. Praise God. So, but it's good to be here. You know, when you're doing what God wants you to do, it's just powerful, just so wonderful what happens. The doors that God opens. We, as Steve was sharing, we travel around the world. And in fact, give a little brief background information. I've worked for three different parachurch ministries over the years. And in doing that, that was part of the preparation for the calling on my life. My father was a pastor. He was a Baptist pastor. In fact, on the way in, I remember something. I got to see your flower garden. I tripped, started falling forward, caught myself in the flower garden there. But I had remembered my younger days. In fact, back, my wife Lisa's at the back. If you want to say hi, hon. Hey. But back in the beginning of our marriage, 30 years ago, in that first year, I was working with a friend of mine. I can't remember the name of the organization, but they built the churches for one of the denominations, and I was up on the second level, two stories up, and someone had made a mistake, and I came up after them to work, and the mistake they made, they left something unsecured. I took a hold of it for support, fell off that building, and I could have got killed. In fact, there was a concrete under me, concrete walkway. There was a circle driveway. There was another walkway. There was this triangle of sand. Then there was a pile of bricks in the sand that took almost up all the sand, you know, where they put the pile of bricks for the building. And I landed in the only place there was sand and hit, rolled backwards, knocked the air out of me, and I get my breath, and of course the head person on all that area out there that was in charge of everything, he insisted I go to the hospital. I didn't feel like I needed to because I felt fine. You know, so I went. And the thing is, see, my father, we have the same name. And I was named after him. And he was a Baptist pastor. And he had a different belief system than I did. But, you know, he was a godly man, and he loved the Lord, loved people. But in his belief system, he just didn't understand healing the way I've come to understand what Jesus has accomplished for us at the cross. And, you know, he was in the hospital there. Where I went and where they took me to, and I didn't have a doctor, and so I just chose his doctor. And he had just had a major operation. He was upstairs in the hospital room, and so they said, "Well, what doctor?" And all the doctor I could remember is my dad's doctor. I remembered his name, so they called him on the phone. They said, "Doctor so and so." He said, "Yes, we've got Cecil Paxton down here in the emergency room." He said, "Well, I just operated on him." He said, "Well, sir, he just fell off a two-story building." Oh, man. They said that was the quickest that doctor ever got down there in the emergency room. He laughed. My dad laughed. He got a good laugh out of that. So praise God. Man, the things God can do, he can turn around for good. My. So anyway, you know, as far as traveling and ministering, you know, of course, I'm not called in the area of pastoring, but I do travel in ministry, but coming up in ministry was a parachurch ministry route, ministering and praying for people over the years. And the Spirit of the Lord has just taught me so much as I've gone through so much change. And so, you know, when you change in Christ and the Holy Spirit opens up and gives you understanding, and that change brings about results, that'll give you heart confidence. I've had meetings where every single person I prayed for has been healed, not just overseas, but here in the U.S. as well. So I've got a lot of confidence and been able to help a lot of people in that area. But you know, when it comes to receiving from God, there's a lot of Christians that it's within their heart to make God responsible to do things for them. And that type of, you can say it one way, and I don't mean this in a negative way because it's not truly completely in the hearts of people, but it's almost like an entitled mentality where our way we relate to God is, okay, we heard what he can do. There's things we want him to do for us because maybe there's needs in our life. But as Christians, the one thing that makes us different and is supposed to make us difference is we're supposed to identify with Christ, which means that when it comes to receiving from God is actually about Jesus. It's not about us, but it is for us. But if we make receiving from God about us and make Him responsible to do things for us in the context of, I have a problem, I have a need, and so the way we relate is, I need this help, and I need you to do something for me, then that's the area in the body of Christ where we see inconsistency when it comes to receiving from God. God is love. God, He'll do things through the gifts at times and other things in our lives that are just wonderful, things we can experience that are just wonderful. But you know, if you want to see consistency, it's coming into an understanding of Christ, who we are in Him. Man, Galatians 2:20 says we've been crucified with Him. Now, we weren't physically crucified with Him, but it's what He accomplished for us spiritually. And His life is in us. But you know, we are actually in Him. Now that's spiritual. But if you don't identify with being in Him and what He accomplished for you and identify with being in Him, then you won't identify with His burial either. The fact that we've been buried with Him, and you won't identify with being raised to newness of life in Him either if you can't see yourself in Him and identify with Him. Instead, we'll identify with ourselves and relate to God according to our problems. Man, Jesus is our life, as Colossians 3:4 says. We've been raised in newness in life, and not only that, but you see, He did something else for us. He quickened us together with Him. Spiritually, this is inwardly on the inside of us what's happened when we've come into this born again experience where we're a new creation in Christ. Is what He accomplished for us. If we can identify with the fact that we're in Him, and He, even as He is in us, if we can identify with Him as our source of life, then we'll live for Him. And there's so many Christians in the body of Christ that live for God. We're not supposed to live for God. Man, that denotes a dependency upon yourself when you live for God. 1 John 4:9 says, "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, and that God gave us His only begotten Son, that we might live through Him." Man, it's living through Christ and who He is in us, identifying with Him instead of, you know, when you identify with Him, you let go of the old, you let go of the identity, because you find something that brings life. Boy, that kind of change on the inside changes us. We have an experience with the Holy Spirit that, man, we're just different. We see it for ourselves. It's not just intellectual information. It's not just a choice and a decision, something we choose to believe. Man, we have an experience with the Spirit of God. God will get real to you in a hurry. Praise God. Lots of testimonies I can share there. But, man, we've been quickened together with Him. But we've also, He did something else for us. When He did all of that, then He took us in. Now we're seated with Him in the heavenly places. We're positioned in a place to receive our inheritance while we're on this earth, not just when we go to heaven. Man, we can experience good, the goodness of God now. But if you don't receive based in who you are in Christ, if you don't receive from your position in Christ, if you don't identify with Him, then when it comes to receiving from God, we'll identify with ourselves. Receiving will be about us because we've got problems and we have needs. But let me tell you, as Christians, you should establish your hearts to the point by the Spirit of God, with Him being your teacher, to the point that you don't identify with your needs. It's like, no, all my needs have been met in Christ Jesus according to His riches and glory. When it comes to receiving, it's like I see myself free. I see myself in a place of freedom in Him where, no, that my problems, these issues, whether they're relational, whether they're financial, whether they're physical, not mine. Don't belong to me. And if somebody looks at you and they say, you've got this or you've got that, oh man, do you have a problem? You know what? No. As Christians, we cast our cares upon the Lord. It's like, no. It's like, nope, not mine, belongs to Jesus. You know, that's just their judgment. That's their opinion. We've got a new opinion. When you identify with your life in Christ, it changes your heart. You relate differently. And you know what? It opens your heart up to receive. And receiving gets easier. You process through challenges quicker because challenges that stick are ones that get on the inside. The challenges of life that affect you deeply are the ones that have gotten into your heart on the end. Maybe they've created pain and hurt. You know, and they've created all these thoughts and feelings and emotions that just consume us because, you know, in fact, one of the teachings I'm going to give away is this one. It's titled, You Are What You Believe. How? You want this, brother? Okay, there you go. You want this? I'll give you this one, brother. Whoa, good catch. Man, that's titled What It Means to Believe. A lot of Christians don't really understand what it means to believe. They think believing is just a choice. Well, of course I believe. I choose to believe something, but that's the beginning of the process, the choices we make. Man, I tell you what, when God's Word comes alive by the Holy Spirit, when you're identifying with Him, boy, you're just looking at Jesus. Your eyes are off of yourself. You just refuse to walk in anxiety. You refuse to let anxiety be a way of life for you. That's another one of my teachings I'm giving away is the Freedom Series. Oh, brother, man, are you a receiver? It's like, you guys better get moving. This guy's going to get it all. Here you go, man. Okay. There you go. That teaching in the Freedom Series is talking about freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety. As Christians, where fear is not supposed to be a way of life for us. We may have problems. We go through challenges just like anyone, but it's how you process through the challenge. If you're identifying with Christ, then anxiety is like, you know what? It is your enemy. It is not your friend. If you take a hold of your problems and let them produce something in the inside of your heart and you try to fix yourself based by looking at the problem, man, our eyes will be on us. It won't be on Jesus. Life will become about us. We'll identify with our problems to the point, like the teaching, you are what you believe. We'll become the problem. We'll take on the identity of the problem to the point that it consumes our heart, affects the dominant thoughts, affects our emotions, the choices we make. Man, our will, that's where we get in trouble, is when we make decisions under the weight of life's problems, and we think it's the right decision, but we're not hearing by the Holy Spirit. Man, our heart's consumed with our problems, and our heart's like a guidance system. It determines and directs which way we go in life. And, man, when we make choices and decisions where our heart's blinded, we only see it our way. We only see it from our perspective through our five senses on what truth is to us. Then you're not inwardly connected to the Holy Spirit. God put His Spirit on the inside of us because as Christians, we can get answers for anything. Nothing is impossible to us. But our heart determines exactly what we receive. If you have a value for the Word of God, and when it comes to God's Word, if you put His Word at a place of prominence in your heart, man, if you just relate differently to the Word of God, connecting to the Holy Spirit doesn't come by accident. Man, that comes because you establish a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's the way you relate. You value His voice. John 10 tells us, John 10, my sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. Every single one of us are capable of knowing His voice. We can get answers. We can receive the wisdom that James 1:5 promises. We can get answers for anything. Unless in our heart we exalt our problems according to what we believe about them to the point that we become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. But we're very sensitive to ourselves. Man, we can consume our heart with ourselves in a heartbeat and then have maybe an attitude. Attitude against God or attitude against man. The issues of life that affect us. Man, I tell you, casting cares upon the Lord is a place of freedom. It's not denial. We don't deny we have problems. We just refuse the weight of our problems. We refuse to look at the problem to fix the problem. The answer is found in Jesus. He's our life. When you go to the promises, and the promises come alive by the Holy Spirit, man, there's a place of freedom in Christ where it just doesn't belong to you. You don't own it to the point that you identify with it. You refuse that type of anxiety into your heart. It's your enemy. You see, when we identify with our problems to the point that they consume our heart, we don't just have problems when they're those kind of problems. We become the problem. That's where it's hard to change when we've become the problem because we convince ourselves in our heart that we're right. The judgments of our own heart, it's just the way we see it. And if we see it really, really strong, then nobody's going to tell us anything different because we believe we're right. Man, the condition of our heart Man, the choices we make, man, determines whether you choose Jesus or choose ourselves. And not just for salvation, but for life. Salvation is the beginning. It's the beginning. And let me tell you, if that's all you receive, you still win. You could lose every promise, never ever experience your inheritance while on this planet. And look, you still got heaven. You still win. You're going to see Jesus. And I tell you, that's the goodness of God. That's how good He is. Man, that reminds me of a situation I was thinking about earlier. In fact, I shared it the other day in the meeting that that little lady that she got hurt in church. I mean, really hurt by a minister that he didn't really have God's love in his heart. He didn't have a revelation of the love of God. And what he did openly in front of the people there in the church, man, she was a young Christian, and she just came into, got saved, came into the Spirit-filled walk, and what he did embarrassed her and hurt her so deeply, she never went back to church a day in her life. Because it's like, no one's ever doing that to me again. And that hurt and pain and that choice and that decision sent her on a course in life where, man, boy, she went through a lot of hell in life. A lot of circumstances, things she went through, and wrong choices, wrong decisions, experienced a lot of relational hurt, a lot of relational pain, because when you don't process through the challenges by turning to Jesus and those types of pains and hurts, man, I tell you what, then those kind of judgments blind you. You end up doing relationally sometimes stupid things in life. That's where I've ministered to women as an example. I've been married maybe 3 times, and they keep marrying men that's abusive and hurts them. But then they say things like, I thought he was a Christian. Because their heart's blind. Their heart never changed. Never went through a process of change of experiencing Jesus and the Word of God in a way that brought about the kind of change that there's no more blindness. They could see a person like that a mile away, so to speak. Never be fooled by that again. Because they can see clearly, relate differently. Man, you're free. When you're free, you're so free that a person like that, you know what, you're so free, you can just, love just covers. Love is what comes out of your heart, but you're not a fool. You see the weaknesses on the inside of them, and you just don't put yourself in that position again to allow that kind of hurt and pain. You relate to those kind of people differently. You don't have judgment in your heart against them. It's just you relate to them differently. Man, that's true freedom. That's love. Praise God. But this little lady, even with all the bad decisions and things she went through and all the relational hurt and pain she experienced in her life, boy, her heart turned back to the Lord. Here she is towards the end of her life. I think she was in her 70s. And she's dying. She chose to die. A young doctor could have saved her life. It would have been a simple thing, he said. In fact, it's not even a major operation. I could do it right here. She wouldn't let him. She chose to go home. She didn't want to live anymore. Now, that kind of person, 3 days before she died, Jesus showed up. The family called us. They didn't know what to do. But, man, they saw what they believed was angels from all parts of the house. Man, they all came up, was in down the hallway, afraid to go in because she was talking to someone, and there was nobody in there. And it turned out it was Jesus. I mean, if I told you he showed up and talked to Billy Graham, I mean, there's such awesome respect for that man and just for the character, integrity in his life that, man, you wouldn't have any difficulty. You relating to that, you would think that, oh yeah. Yeah, I can understand why Jesus would show up and talk to Billy Graham. But I'm talking about Jesus showing up to a woman with all these issues of life. You know what? That tells me a lot about Jesus. He is love. Man, he is merciful towards us. Praise God. You need to know God. If you don't know his true nature, his true character, if you don't know who he really is, then in life, man, there's Christians and people that hold God in judgment for the things of the earth. God is not responsible for any bad on this planet. Man is. Dominion was given to man. Man's made a pretty good mess of it. And man can't fix the problem. I was talking about that the other day. Men's and cat, no matter what politician, doesn't matter how good the person or people are, man cannot fix the problems. Man creates problems. Sometimes man does very, very good things. But the fact is this, though. The church has the answer. Jesus is the answer. Okay, and I mentioned that the other day. One of the people that that is one of our partners and also related to them ministry-wise and go into the prison systems, work with the gangs and the youth. And, man, they love it when they come in because these kids change. They bring them out of the gangs, out of the cities, bring them out to these area. And, man, these kids are, you know, some of them are, well, you can imagine. But, man, they get wonderful results with these. And the prison system loves it when they come in because they got a revelation of God's love and God's grace. I taught them about the power of God, and they get these kids healed. They're experiencing Jesus in a personal way. Man, but you know what? The wife in the education system coming up in her life in her younger days, she thought, you know, she wasn't a believer. She thought Christians are weird. She had a very liberal mindset on the inside of her and how she related to life and what she believed. And, man, she just thought, they are just like there's something wrong with them. She just thought that's her perspective. The judgment's in her heart. And she really was convinced that she was right. But you see, when she came into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, her bargaining experience was the beginning of the process of change. And when you're new creation, when the nature of God comes in, the old goes, the new comes, and you begin to have experiences with God. God comes alive on the inside. You go through a process of change where you're being conformed to the image of who you are in Christ, as Romans 8, one example tells us. You begin to lose the identity of the old and take on the identity of the new through the work of the Holy Spirit, where God's Word goes beyond intellectual information to you. The Word of God begins to become understanding to your heart by the Holy Spirit. Man, when you see it for yourself, not because somebody else says so. When the Holy Spirit shows it to you, it'll become yours. Because in that process of receiving, you change, you're different. Inwardly, it's an inward change that affects us, that affects the outward. It affects your feelings, your emotions, the thoughts, the choices, the decisions you make. It'll change your self-worth to where your self-worth will begin to become established in the value that God has for you, who you are in Christ, and what Jesus thinks about you. Not you'll begin to let go of the judgments of your heart of what man thinks about you. Man, there's so many Christians that it's so important what people think about them. I'm a good person. I can't believe that's what they, you know, and all the issues of life and the things, and they're so bothered because their identity is established in their performance. Man, I was going to tell you something. That I haven't met one perfect Christian yet, including myself. Because, you see, it's not about what we've done in the arm of the flesh. It's what Jesus did on the inside of us. He's perfected that which concerns us. And that means this. You can go through change. In fact, you could even experience an issue of sin in your heart and not feel any shame. Because you won't feel the shame to run from God. You'll go to Him. Because you'll know the person. You'll know His love. You'll know the nature and character of the person. And let me tell you, you can open up your heart to someone that loves you. Any issue, any area, you can open up your heart to a person that won't go stomp, stomp, stomp. And won't judge you for your performance. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus is the answer. Freedom comes in Christ. He's got the answers for freedom. It begins with Him. Praise God. That's why it's so important to come to know who He really is. Come to know His true nature, His true character, who the person is. And you can look at you can begin to come to know Jesus by looking at His life. Go look in the Gospels, how He lived life. When He was under pressure, look how He responded. You want to see a person, then just watch them every day. I mean, you can get to know a person over a period of time just by watching them. You work with somebody 8 hours a day as an example, 5 days a week or maybe more, and weeks go into months go into years. Hey, You can see them in every different manner, area of life possibly, all the different circumstances, the challenges, the good, the bad. You can really come to know the heart of that individual. You can get a better perspective on who they really are when you see when pressure comes and what actually comes out, how they respond. You can see it when they change. They're in Christ, and all of a sudden, they're different, and under pressure, they respond differently. They've got a different perspective, different attitude, different choices, different decisions. Man, I remember a situation I heard about with two Christians that there was a person on a job site that, man, I tell you what, this person, what they did was really bad, but it was just the way the Christian responded. The first thing that came out of that man and what he said in the tone of his voice, the choice of his words, and what he actually did in that situation, man, he was so merciful. He did not give that person what he deserved. Now that's change, because his friend watched him. He told him later, his friend said this, he said, man, if he'd done that to me, I'd knocked his head off. I can't believe you were so merciful. Man, that's just simply where our heart, you know what, our self-worth when established in Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is condemnation when you don't relate and see yourself in Christ and you relate to life and life's issues and life's problems from your own performance, your self-worth been established in yourself. You'll condemn yourself. You'll feel like others are judging and condemning. You relate differently to people, to life. And you'll feel shame, guilt, condemned, some type of emotion based upon the beliefs of your own heart, your own perspective, and how you see it. You know, both Christians, one responded one way, one responded another way. Let me tell you, they're both righteous because your righteousness is in Christ. Just because the one brother hadn't gone through a process of change where he related differently, it doesn't make him a bad person. It just means that he'll lay hands on you quicker. Just kidding. Little humor. My. But you know what? The other brother, he got a revelation of God's mercy. Sometimes in life when, man, let me tell you, God was so merciful towards you and you know you didn't deserve it. See, I ministered to a man that was blind one time. And he went blind from seizures. And when he did, he had Christians tell him and told him that, look, this is God's judgment on you. He accepted it because even though he was saved, he knew he needed Jesus. He knew what he did in his past. If I told you what he did, I know what he did simply because when we went to minister to him and he was under the weight of the seizures and having incredible pain and couldn't think straight and he was having a hard time receiving, my wife was right there. She heard from God, heard by the Holy Spirit, told him what he had done in life, and I mean, boy, I tell you what, there was an immediate response from that guy. He said, there's no way you could know that because, you know, that just wasn't open information and open knowledge at all. And he realized this is God. There's no way you can know that. There's God. And let me, if I told you what he did, it was pretty bad. And he held himself in judgment for years and years over what he did. He felt like this. He believed in his heart. It's a judgment of the heart. He believed, God, you could never forgive me. You can never forgive me, because he couldn't forgive himself because it was inexcusable what he did. It was a serious mistake, but he's the one that did it. And he accepted the judgment of it into his heart and identified with it and believed that not even God could forgive me for this. This is beyond even his willingness or ability to forgive me, maybe. That had to change. He got into my teaching. A teaching on the area of the heart. And because you see, he could listen and hear what you would share with him. You could tell him about God's love and God's forgiveness, but until he could experience it for himself and see it for himself, then deep down on the inside, it's just intellectual information until your heart changes. Until that knowledge of the Word of God comes alive on the inside by the Holy Spirit and brings change and transformation. In that process of change, we end up taking on the identity of the promise. And we're in the process of losing the identity of the problem. man being conformed to the image of Christ. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. We change in that process. You know, I couldn't minister healing to him again until that time, but we got him free from the effect of the weight of the seizures, because that opened up his heart. But he had more issues of the heart to resolve, and the blindness, doctors told him, look, there's nothing we can do for you. You're blind the rest of your life. Something is severed in your eyes. There's no operations, nothing we can do. He bought the dog, went to a local blind school. He did pretty good. He's free, extremely intelligent. In fact, he kept teaching at a particular secular type of a college that teaches a trade, because he'd been doing it for so long, he had it memorized. He didn't need the books. Even though he's blind, he continued teaching. But he was a tough guy, and he was a person that would relate to people that were tough, because he was tough. He had bullet holes, stab wounds, turned around and took them out. Because the guy, you know, it just, that's where his self-worth was established. His whole identity was established in self. He looked at weak people. He told me about it in his classroom, that there was this little computer geek, you know, and he really had no respect for him. The way he related to him, he liked the tough guys. That's the people he had the tendency to relate to, because his self-worth was established in his own performance and himself being tough. But you see, the blindness, eventually he received. In fact, he had been in my teaching. I dropped by his home. I was getting ready to go out, and my wife and I, we were traveling for 4 months. But before I left Colorado, I dropped by his house to drop something off, and when I did, he had sinus problems. He was all congested. I said, brother, let me pray for your sinuses. He said, yeah, and pray for my eyes too. First passage cleared up. Second passage cleared up. No more mucus. He could breathe freely and clearly. Put my hands on his eyes. There was a friend there, but he was on the toilet. He came out later and said, I missed it. But I put my hands on his eyes. I never felt a thing. You know, when you release the life of Christ, it comes right out of your spirit, right from within you. And sometimes I do feel the anointing, and I feel the heat or power of God, and sometimes it's for the benefit of the people. Other times they feel it. It's like, whoa, that my hand, your hand's hot, or man, my back's hot, or this. They feel the anointing, feel the virtue. But I don't have to feel it to know something's happening. I know when I release the life of Christ, it's, you know, the moment I speak with authority and release his life, it's working now. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. That'll mess with your head if you don't understand that area, because you can't do that in the arm of the flesh. That's the presence of the Lord that's on the inside of us, releasing the life of Christ into people's physical bodies. And let me tell you, I was sharing the other day, I've seen many, many different healings from people, from hearing voices, to bipolar, to autism, to Parkinson's, to blindness. Boy, and those are the kind of the things that when I share, it's just like, wow. Stands out. But I've got all kinds of healings in praying for people. I've got lots and lots and lots of testimonies. I forget more than I remember. I get people sometimes that come up to me, and I'm the one that prayed for them, and I can't remember because I pray for so many people. But they tell me what happened, and sometimes it's like I'm hearing it for the first time. But this guy, he felt like a jolt of lightning hit him on the head. There's no one there to catch him. He starts to fall. He instinctively grabs my arms, but he went ahead and fell. And as he fell, his bottom hit a step and then hit the floor. It kind of bounced. He's sitting there on the floor, and he can see. His eyes opened up. You know what flew? Praise God. What flew out of my mouth was something that I didn't think of my conscious mind, because he told me later what had happened. But out of my mouth, I commanded something to be reattached. That came by the Spirit of the Lord. I didn't think those words. I didn't have the knowledge that something had severed in his eyes until he told me about it later. I tell you what, Jesus knows what we don't know. I used an example of that the other day with a lady with Parkinson's, where I told her to go over to the corner and listen, this is going to help you to keep your healing, because I'd prayed for her before and she got healed from all the shaking, couldn't walk, couldn't drive, now she could. But she lost it, so I ministered to her again. Wham, free again, except left just her arm shaking. And I told her, go over the corner of the room. This is going to help you to keep your healing. When you need to know, when you speak with authority, that, man, what can happen? That'll give your heart confidence that you can pray, because the life of Christ is on the inside of you. I didn't know it later. The pastor told me later that She had called her sister after she got healed the first time and told her sister, "I'm healed, I'm healed." Her sister said, "No, you're not." And that bothered her so much. And she had all these relational problems and issues and on the inside, all the pain in the areas of life, that she couldn't get her mind and thoughts off herself and what her sister said. Then she began to really seriously consider her sister's words. Instead of the Word of God being prominent in her heart, she chose her perspective based on the problem instead of choosing Jesus. Let me tell you, Christians do that all the time, sometimes in life, both to the minor and both to the great things of life, the serious problems and the minor problems. If our heart's trained to make everything about us, we do that automatically without even thinking about it. That's why it is so important as Christians, God's Word. You know, your pastor is ministering, he's sharing with you, he ministers the Word of God. The things he was even sharing today, he was making statements and sharing things that there's so many scriptures, so much behind his words and what he was saying. You may just take it as, oh, he's, you know, that's just my pastor. But let me tell you, if you have the same understanding of heart, if you pursue it, then you'll speak it with understanding. You'll mean what you're saying because it'll mean something to you. It won't just be speaking the Christian language. It'll mean something to you. Because there, Paul the Apostle, what he said to his disciple, Timothy, one of the things he said was, teach him my ways of life in Christ. There is a way of living life that is in Christ instead of living for him, instead of living in self and relating to life like many times like unbelievers do, except we just speak the Christian language, this Christianese. And that language depends on the church you go to, because every church has its own little Christianese language depending on their belief systems. I'm not being critical. That's just kind of life. That's, you know what? All of us, I came out of a Baptist background. My father was a Baptist pastor. And when you are a Baptist, you think like a Baptist. Let me tell you, there's old Baptists that'll tell you, I was born a Baptist, I'm a Baptist all my life, I'll die a Baptist, and they're a Baptist before they're a Christian. Man. I can tell you all kinds of stories there, but all of us have a different background. Some of us Catholic backgrounds and you know, different denominations sometimes, and the different influences that were upon our heart and how we saw life. The people that we listened to what they shared, and we trusted them because, you know what, maybe they were sincerely good people. They meant well. And so we trusted them. So we opened up our heart. My. But there's a way of life in Christ. There's a way of living life that's in him, where you identify with who you're in him. He's in us. But you're either going to yield externally to the law of sin and death, as Romans 8:2 talks about, or you're going to yield inwardly to the spirit of the law of life that's in Christ Jesus that dwells on the inside of you. Your heart will make the decision which way you yield. So how is our heart trained? Is Jesus our life, or do we live for him? Under pressure, what's the first thing that comes up? What's the dominant thoughts? Do we have the tendency to put our focus on ourselves or immediately begin the process of looking to Jesus? And do you understand what it means to look to Jesus? Because it's one thing to be told to do something. It's another thing to understand how to do it. Your heart needs understanding. You need to understand his ways. If you don't establish his ways, you will automatically, you got your own, you'll establish your own, the way you see it yourself, your own perspective of life and how you see it. Because your heart's like a guidance system. It'll determine, dictate which way you go in life. You've got a free will, and not even God will violate your free will. He's not a manipulator. He's not a controller. That is not his nature, his character. He is love. Man, he is so merciful towards us. Praise God. Man, Ephesians 2:4. Because of his great, you know what? He's rich in mercy because of his great love. That word is really talking about wealth. It's more than just riches, because riches can come and go. Wealth lasts through generations. But he is rich towards us. Wealthy, see, wealth never runs out. It's an endless supply. And what motivates him deep down on the inside is love. And it's not just any love, it's a great love. Let me tell you, if you loved your kids, every time you put your thoughts towards them, it's what you would think. The thoughts that would come up the memories and the thoughts. If you loved your kids, man, the good that would come up. And then you sit there and think about blessing them, the good you can do for them. But see, God's given us everything in Christ, which means that the covenant was made with Jesus, like a contract. It was made with Jesus. It wasn't made with us. It was made with him. We enter in, but it was made with him. If it was made with us directly, with man, man's flesh is weak, we would have messed it up again. Just like the first Adam, we would have messed it up again because of the condition of our heart. But Jesus was the second Adam and the perfect sacrifice. He did it for us. And God made covenant with him. That's why we enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's why that everything we receive comes through him. It comes from who we are in him. It's what he did accomplish for us. He's our life. As Colossians 3:4 says, he's our life. But you must identify with that. Begin the process of your heart yielding to him. Because if your heart's trying to live for him, you'll live life with a dependency on yourself. The first thing you'll do is you get yourself out of your problems because you've been doing it all of your life. You'll depend on yourself. And if you got a brilliant, intelligent mind, let me tell you, ever since you've been a little kid, you've been getting yourself out of problems. And you've been smarter than your friends, and you know you're smarter. I know everybody raised their hand, yeah, that's me. I'm just kidding. But no. Let me tell you, I've ministered, one of the most challenging people I've ministered to was a pastor's grandson. That kid, he talked to me like adults don't even talk to me. Extremely brilliant, intelligent. Reminds me of my uncle. My uncle's that way. Very intelligent. I mean, we can be talking the word, and all of a sudden, it's like he takes off into outer space. Boom, just takes off in conversation. The way this kid connected things together. In a way that you don't hear kids his age, 11 years old, you don't hear them talking like that. Now, he loves to fellowship with his friends, but he knows he's different. He can see things and make different choices, different decisions in life because of that brilliant, intelligent mind that he's got. Man, people, as an example, I'm just using one example, but people with a brilliant, intelligent mind, your heart's been trained to trust in your intelligence. It's got you out of many problems in life, and you'll yield to your intelligence in a heartbeat just like that, because it's how your heart's trained. It's the way you've always done it, and you've gotten results. And if you get results in life, then you've got confidence in what works. To come into a place where the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher, you really need to experience the benefit of his promises, and it needs to be proven to your heart to the point that you can see it for yourself. It's real to you that you'll put his ways at a place of promise on the inside of your heart to the point your heart's got confidence. You can choose him over yourself because something's been proven to your heart. That's the difference between just being saved but coming into a place and with Jesus where he's not just your Savior, but he becomes the Lord of our life. You see, to submit to lordship is not control and manipulation. It's like this. It's like, Jesus, you know what? Wow, your ways work. It's my ways that don't work. In fact, the result of my ways, I like the result of your ways better than the result of my ways. And it's the beginning of the process of your heart choosing him over yourself. And that begins to relate to different areas of life, relationship issues, financial problems, physical issues. Every area of life, Jesus is completely accomplished for us. But receiving from God is about Jesus, which means in your heart you can choose yourself over him. You can want God to do things for you. And not even realize that you make God responsible to give you something he's already given you in Christ Jesus at the cross. And what he's already accomplished through his son, but you don't understand receiving. There's so many Christians that don't understand receiving from God. And then they hold God in judgment and make him responsible for the bad in life. Because, look, I asked you. They take maybe one scripture out of context and don't have the completeness of understanding of that area of life as a whole. And then they hold God in judgment. But for him not being faithful. Man, I've got a nephew. He's in Satan worship just for that reason. Because when he was young, and he didn't grow up in church, he didn't have parents that dislike. His parents believe that he needs to hear anything and everything. He needs to make his own decisions in life. Man, garbage in, garbage out. If you fill somebody up with garbage, guess what's going to come out? You're going to look to every different way until you decide, how you see it, and that doesn't involve the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of truth. He is not a controller and a manipulator, but he's also a spirit of grace, which means that when truth is revealed, grace is God's enabling ability to Jesus Christ that brings change. When he shows it to you, let me tell you, your heart involves perception, how you perceive and see and understand. When you see it for yourself with understanding by the Spirit of God, it'll be so clear. You suddenly now are capable of seeing something from God's perspective in life, and depending upon how much has been opened up to you. As Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When the light turns on and you get God's perspective in an area of life, when God's word begins to open up in an area of life, it's the beginning of the process. For your heart to have a completeness of understanding, it's a process. But let me tell you, there's an old saying, when the iron's hot, strike. You know, from the blacksmith in their days, when they got the metal right. In other words, when the Holy Spirit speaks them, that's the time to pursue understanding, because when you're connected to him and man, but you know, if you, on the other hand, you get busy, just don't have time. Your pastor ministers a message on a Sunday, and certain things connect, and it was like it's good, and but you know that you need more. But you know what? Right after the message on Sunday, you don't take the same thing that was ministered and meditate on it. Spend time meditating, letting the Holy Spirit be your teacher and letting him speak into you. For the Holy Spirit to show you the same things. Because when the Holy Spirit shows it to you, it'll become yours. But sometimes by the middle of the week, you can't remember a thing that was said. You just remember, oh, yeah, it was good. The time we take to let the Holy Spirit be our teacher, we're not just talking about having to do something, having to memorize something, because you can memorize information. As people with brilliant minds, they can memorize books and chapters of the Bible, but not experience the Holy Spirit and be stinkers. We've all experienced that and seen that, I'm sure. Maybe experienced it in our own lives. Man, full of a head full of a lot of information and knowledge, and then we draw a self-worth from what we know instead of the person of who we are in him. Drawing a self-worth from him. Well, we owe him everything. And every time you see, every time, if you really know Jesus, every time you think about him, you put your focus towards him, your thoughts towards him, your heart should melt with gratitude and gratefulness. If you fully understand, then there can be that emotional response. If there's a completeness of understanding on what he's really accomplished and you experience his faithfulness and it's proven to your heart, it'll change you when you realize just what he fully accomplished for you, and you see it from his perspective, it'll change you. You'll come to know the person. You'll relate to the person differently, because you see, his lordship is not about control. It's just simply who he is. My. That man that I told you about that was blind, and wham, he's sitting on the floor, he can see. Let me tell you, he came off that floor, he was one happy camper. He grabbed me around the waist. He started throwing me around the room, because, man, he was blind for the rest of his life. He could see. He came off the floor and said, okay, thank you. I'm like, duh. Let me tell you, I've experienced that. I prayed for a lady. I was just sharing it the other day when I was in Belize here just about a month ago. And it was a powerful meeting. I ministered to in a church that, and it could be because the poorest of the country. That used to be one of the poorest countries in the world. But the church, they had a Chinese church, Spanish church, English speaking church, all in one building. And I never talked to them, but you know, it could be, you know what, look, hey, together they could accomplish something. But I worked through two interpreters. Had a Chinese interpreter, you know, and of course people stood English there, but in Spanish, and they were, you know, first time to work with two interpreters. But you know what, the lady I prayed for in the meeting, she had been paralyzed because of an auto accident. And she was in pain. They told me about it right before she came to the service. I happened to be at the door. Went in and just prayed for her, and a wham, pain left her body. And she was paralyzed, but her foot, she began to have freedom of movement in one foot. And then later they brought her up at the time of prayer. And when they did, releasing the life of Christ into her body, man, she came out of the wheelchair and she walked like four or five different steps. But she went back to the wheelchair. I prayed for a man that one time, and he was an Air Force thing. Was he had the fanciest wheelchair I've ever seen. It was like, I don't know, maybe it could fly. And he's like, man, this is a fancy wheelchair. It looked like he could get up and just really go. It looked like it was the way it's shaped and built and everything. It didn't look like a regular, it looks like something Hollywood would do. It's like, because it was just a nice looking wheelchair. But, man, the guy, he had his spine, something had happened. And he was in that chair the rest of his life. Let me tell you, he came out and walked. He went back to the chair. I said, what are you doing? You don't need that chair. He said, it's the only way I can get it out of here. it's all these complaints. He has to sit in to get it out of there. But this lady, she went back to the chair because she wanted to. You know what? Sometimes it's like, don't want to lose the money I'm going to get. So it's important to be in the chair because there's something else in our heart. We choose over Jesus. We've got free wills to choose. Now, she was healed, and she was doing things she couldn't do, but she chose to go back and sit in the chair and stay in the chair. Man, people have free wills to choose. It's just the hearts of people and where we're at. It's how we see life. It's what truth is to us. There's no condemnation because we don't relate to people that way. It's just where their heart's at. They make their own decisions based on how they see it. My. But you know what? The man that was blind, he told me this. He began, see, he had his self-worth established in his own performance and his own strength. He went through getting into God's word during that time. He went through such change and established his heart in the word of God and resolving relational issues and things of life and problems and things as he began to the word to change his heart. He began to change. While he was blind, he told me this. He told me about the people that he liked, the tough guys in there. He could relate to them. This computer geek, he didn't like him because he's just like a 90-pound weakling. That's how he related to him. He didn't have any value for him because, because he relates to people from the physical. That's where he draws his self-worth. He's a tough guy. But you see, while his heart changed with the Word of God, while he was blind, getting into the Word, and it changed so much that he told me this. He said he learned to begin to listen to people's hearts because of my teaching. And he sort of began. See, Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, that's one example, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the last part of that scripture. The words, the things that come out of our mouth can reveal who we are because the real person, as 1 Peter 3:4 says, is the hidden man of the heart. That's who we really are. The real person is who we are on the inside. It's not what we think people think about us, so to speak. It's who we actually are inwardly on the inside. Because out of the heart, that heart, we make choices and decisions. That's who we really are. And the man, though, began to learn to listen because he couldn't physically see. He began to learn to listen to the hearts of the people as they were communicating. That he went through such change. He told me this. He said, that 90-pound computer geek, he said, I really began to like him. He said, I really liked what I heard coming out of him. I liked his heart. He said, man, the guys I used to like, it's like, you know what? It's like, man, I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the attitude. He changed. I'll tell you what, when we change, we can hear what we couldn't hear. What we are blinded to because our self-worth changes and how we establish things in life and how we see life, we change. That's Jesus. Man, his words going beyond his intellectual information. My. And something else happened with that guy. When he walked into the kitchen, even though he was seeing, he had the lights off, and there was a hole there in the kitchen wall where you could pass things through to the dining area. And when I saw him go into the kitchen, I saw the countenance on his face fall. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, I can see perfectly out of the one eye, but he said the other eye, he said, it's gone blurry. If you remember the story of the man from Bethsaida, when they brought the blind man to Jesus to pray for him, the people of the city, you know that Jesus, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, when I was in Israel here a while back, I visited there, the ruins and things, and got a perspective of the distance and things, which was really nice. But those are the cities that Jesus pronounced judgment over because of their unbelief. But you know what? He got his greatest healing and miracles in the cities that he pronounced judgment over of unbelief. Unbelief doesn't have to stop Christians. It may hinder, may make the process longer. But the only thing that really stops us is a person's will. The only thing that will stop God is a person's will, in other words, because you've got a free will to choose. God doesn't relate to us through manipulation and control. But you see, this guy, I just put my hand back on him just like they did with the city of Bethesda, because when they brought the man to Jesus, he didn't pray for the man. He took the man by the arm and they went for a very long walk. Got him well away from the city. Then he began to minister. He got him away from the people, got him away from the city. And when he released his life, the virtue of God, right into that man's physical body, he had his hands on the man's eyes. And when he took his hands away, the man could see, but the man couldn't see perfectly. I want to tell you something. Jesus was not the problem. Jesus didn't have trouble getting results. But Jesus, with wisdom, he just knew what to do. Everybody's different in how we receive because of the condition of our heart. Some of us, it's like we choose not. It's like, no, I just can't accept that as truth. That's just beyond where I'm at. Other people, it's like, okay, but it's just what depends on the understanding of heart. Well, you can see it for yourself. Man, when you understand to come to know Jesus as your healer, it'll change your heart. You'll relate to him differently. I mean, it's Jesus that works through us. It's his life that dwells on the inside of us, the life of Christ. But you see, Jesus just put his hands back on the man. And because right out of his spirit, wham, more of the life of Christ, more his virtue and power. And then the man could begin to see clearly. But Jesus told the man something. It's interesting. He talked to this man in a way he didn't always talk to other people. With this person, he said, don't go back into that city anymore. In fact, don't even talk to someone from there. I just wonder if the average pastor did that, how people would respond. Now, don't you go call your family member on the phone and da-da-da-da-da, like that lady. Remember what that lady did? Called her sister. I'm healed. She needed something from her sister she should have been getting from Jesus. Then self-worth and validity and validation is something. Let me tell you, that lady had all kinds of relational problems. That pastor, I didn't know it, but before I prayed for her the first time, he'd been working with him maybe almost a year, spending more personal time with him because of all the relational problems and issues and the emotional problems of life and all the things she'd gone through. He spent more quality time with her, but just for her benefit, and she'd gone through wonderful change before, you know, even, you know, before I came there. She was different than originally in the very, very beginning. Now, maybe not complete, but you know what? A lot of good things, a lot of good change. It just takes time sometimes for us to change because, you know what? We got a free will. We just can't always open up our heart and go through change and choose Jesus quickly sometimes when our heart's been trained in severe ways to choose ourselves. We've been doing that all of our life, very, very strongly, not mildly. And that lady, you know what? Man, she did receive. But you see, the blind man of Bethesda, Jesus said, don't go back into that town anymore. In fact, don't even talk to anyone from there. That tells me that the condition of the man's heart was so critical, that insensitive, that people's words could have a great influence. People's judgments, their opinion, would have a greater influence than it should upon his heart. When the Word of God is not fully established within your heart, when you just intellectually choose to believe something, then someone else communicates a different opinion, a different perspective, it can challenge your heart to the point that, yeah, I guess maybe they're right. The book of James talks about a double-minded person where in life where we begin to waver back and forth between two opinions, two judgments. That scripture, when it says double-minded in James, it means twice-hearted. Sometimes in life, we've got two different beliefs on the inside. We're choosing to believe God, but our problems are so real. The circumstances or the other opinion, the other perspective is like it's got an influence upon us because our heart is not completely changed. God's word hasn't gone beyond intellectual information to us. Has it come alive by the Holy Spirit to the point that we see it for ourselves and in that process take on the identity of that truth to the point that we become that truth and it becomes a way of life and we get results, which will give your heart confidence. But you see, this man didn't have that benefit. This was before the cross. And Jesus was relating to him differently. And so because he's relating to him differently, the way he's communicating and what he's telling him to do is vital for him guarding his heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of your heart springs forth the issues of life. We live life right out of our heart. The condition is so important. You just can't take anything and everything in to determine what truth is to your heart. No, you experience the Holy Spirit. You get answers from God. You hear from Him. And then all of a sudden, you've got a perspective on other people's opinions that is just like night and day different. You can see what they can't see. You relate differently. You've got something that works, that gets results. You've got confidence because what He revealed to you. But you see, this man I was praying for, put my hands on him again. Man, he could see clearly and perfectly again. I left town. I was gone for 4 months, if you remember. But I called him up after a few weeks to see how he was doing. After about 3 weeks, he told me this. He said, well, the eye's gone blurry again, but the other eye's perfect. He had been to the doctor. The doctor said, man, I don't understand this. He says, but you got perfect 20/20 vision in this eye. Man, that doctor couldn't have done that operation, but Jesus did it. But he said, in the other eye, that's blurry, he said, we can fix this. There's a special operation we can do. I can fix this. Do you know that man wouldn't let me pray for him again? He said, no, I just believe God's going to work through the doctors. That's where my dad's heart was at, in the hospital, because of his belief system, his Baptist background. He was just trusting God to work through the doctors, because he couldn't relate to Jesus as his healer, because he didn't know him as healer. But you see, this man, he chose, made something over Jesus, even though he experienced Jesus, because he had confidence. He had the insurance. It'll pay for it. He can fix it. But I got back into town. He wouldn't let me pray for him. I ministered the word to him, but he chose that, so I let him go. I got back into town the end of 4 months. I called him up. He said, look, we need to talk. We got together. I came over to his home, and we're sitting out in front of his house on his porch talking. And he said this. He said, and he seemed perfectly. He said, after we talked, he said, I found out later. I don't know how much later, weeks maybe, I don't know. He said, my insurer said, we're not paying for that. It's considered experimental. We're not paying for that. And he told me this. He said he got angry at God. He said he got upset. He's just a young baby Christian. You know what? That's why he's, and he gets to get angry. He said, he held God in judgment. He said, look, if you just give me the money, I could have this operation. And he told me in the midst of getting angry at God, he said, all of a sudden, it's like what came alive deep down on the inside. He heard by the Holy Spirit. It was so clear. He heard his voice. And he said, I heard your voice, and I heard the word that you ministered to me. The scriptures came right back. And so now you know what the Holy Spirit sounds like. He sounds like me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No, my voice that he heard, but it was the word that was ministered. And when I ministered, came right back to him. But this is what he told me. The Holy Spirit made it so clear. He saw the condition of his heart. He saw his unbelief and how evil his unbelief was, because you see, he was choosing himself over Jesus, and he didn't even realize it. He was blind to that. Let me tell you, God's not judging the person. God's just showing him his own heart. God loves us. He relates to us through love, not judgment. But you see, because the man began to come to know God's love, then he could see an area of his heart and feel no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. When your self-worth is established in Jesus, you just process through life differently. And you relate differently to change. Change comes easier and quicker. But the man, he knew what to do. He went right back and got into the teaching again. Got right into the Word of God. Got right back and went into the teaching. And all of a sudden, one day, and it was like weeks, whatever, in the Word of God, all of a sudden he realized something. One day he was seeing out of that eye. It wasn't blurred anymore. He told me this. He said, I don't know when it happened. Now, when I prayed for him, a defining moment. Can't see, wham! He can see, defining moment. But the eye that he received based on the Word of God working in his heart by the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, when he went back to the doctor, and the doctor the one eye prayed for 20/20. The doctor told him the other eye was better than 20/20. Man, and, that's like God dotting the I, so to speak. It's like, boy, doesn't that speak to you the value and the benefit of God's word? It's good to be prayed for, but the value of the word of God working in your heart to the point that you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. How do you relate to the Holy Spirit? Man, believe. We're called believers, long before we're called Christians. Just believe for him to be your teacher. Believe before you enter the word of God. Believe he's going to teach you. It's that simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not supposed to be hard. Man, it's simple. It's relational. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a third person of the Godhead. When he speaks, the same as the Father and the Son, they're one. They never operate independently against each other, in other words. They're one. Man, you can trust the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit of truth. But just believe for it. Just keep it simple. But when you approach the Word of God, just believe for him to be your teacher. There's so many Christians that listen to teaching and it's intellectual. They consume their head with a lot of information. Then it's like, do you have anything new? You know, looking for more information. Not believing knowledge alone by itself. Knowledge is the beginning of the process. Until knowledge becomes understanding to your heart, the truth of God's word doesn't belong to you, because in that process, wisdom, the practical application of that truth and how it works in your everyday life, that's the process of the Holy Spirit being your teacher. Turning on the light, revealing that truth to you. All of a sudden, wisdom is a practical application. You change in how you live life, how you think, how you relate to life. Your life's challenging problems, you relate differently, all in matter because your heart's changed. So under pressure, first thing comes out, it's different. You get a revelation of God's mercy, it'll just change you. His love, it'll just change you. You relate differently. Praise God. Well, let me give this away. This is titled Receiving Healing. Let's see. Well, I've got a couple different people there, but I'll give this to you. I won't throw it because I'd have to pray for somebody. I'd probably hit them. And then I'll give this one to you. That's Healing Scriptures. That's with Ellie Singer, a lady that's on the radio in our area of Colorado that's got a beautiful voice. A minister friend of mine, pastor, that utilized her and put the scriptures together with music in the background for meditating. So just a wonderful tool. And then that teaching on receiving healing is for the individual receiving, and how you receive it, you know, in other words, from you and Jesus and receiving. So I've got teaching on how to minister healing and receiving, but that's from the perspective of helping people. That's for the person, for receiving. Praise God. And this is a teaching. My wife did a women's conference, and she taught on the subject of God's love, and it's titled Abounding Love. I'll give this way over here. Who'd like to have this? Well, you're the first one I saw over there, so I won't throw it. I might have to. A small thing like this. You're welcome. Well, I've just been sharing with you today. You know, I've got a lot I can minister. I've got quite a bit of teaching, but on a Sunday service, and you know, when I teach students, I can talk for hours. I can talk longer. You can probably listen. I think the longest I've gone in one day is 8 hours, and I don't think I'll ever do that again. But that was a long day, you know. But and it wore my voice out like it's almost now. But I've just been sharing with you. I've got a lot I can minister, but what I shared with you was just, you know, Sunday service, it's just different, but it's good. But it's more like a family time, it should be. But I will share this and say this, that something the other day, I don't want to go too long this morning, but I will share something that's been on my heart and in this area. And I mentioned this the other day in Luke 18:8. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I touched on this a while ago because in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, talks in verse 25, talks about the signs, the signs of the season of the end times, and the sun, the moon, the stars, nations with just such distress. These are things we're beginning to see, and things that we're seeing, and words in God's word of prophecy beginning to come about, and seeing things within the world as a whole. And it says, where perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, we're seeing more and more natural disasters. These are all things that we're seeing more in our day and time than any other time. I know the Lord spoke to me back in the beginning of my marriage 30 years ago. For 2 weeks, he said the same thing. He said, I'm coming back soon. God's been speaking to many people. And I shared a testimony the other day of a man that where I was just at, that he normally, you know, when he sleeps, he just sleeps. But he said, man, he had something from God in his dream. He saw the Lord coming to take us. And but he was crossing a bridge, and he looked over this woman as he was driving home from work, and she was like, what are you doing? She's out of the car looking up into the sky, and so he stopped and went to look to see what she was looking at. And when he looked up, he saw the sky had opened, and he saw Jesus. And all of a sudden, as he looked up, he came through the roof of the car, and his body began to turn. And when his body began to turn, he looked and saw Jesus, and immediately, when the dream ended. It was so vivid. But there's been many people, including a little boy I spoke about, that the Lord showed him his return, what it was going to be like on the earth, because he's got evangelistic calling in his life for people, because it bothered him deeply, the people that were being left behind. God loves people. And I believe that the church, the body of Christ as a whole, we don't need an escape mentality. No, Jesus loves people. It's about reaching people. And if it's about you doing it for him, that's going to be hard. That's not going to be fun. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God working through us is supposed to be fun. When you experience what he does through us, man, it's wonderful. You love it. And him working through us, touching people's lives, that's what the way it's supposed to work. I've got a lot of teaching along that line in different areas, because Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it's a fivefold ministry, that one of the areas is called to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry, verse 12, in Ephesians chapter 4. But verse 26 in Luke chapter 21 says that man's hearts are going to be fell in them for fear. This is not supposed to be the body of Christ. Do not determine what is truth and reality to your heart based on the circumstances of what you're seeing in the world. But let me tell you something. If you've gone through bad in life to the point that you have the tendency to relate to the negative, you have the tendency to relate to bad, you can see bad quicker than you can see good. That is the definition of the word fear from the Hebrew language. When there's an expectation of bad established within our heart. If there's an expectation of bad established within our heart as Christians to the point that bad's more real to us than good, bad's more of a reality to us than good, and the bad seems to become magnified in a heartbeat on the inside of us, then it's a condition for our heart, and our hearts are not supposed to be in that condition. We're not supposed to be walking in fear and anxiety. We can be challenged by circumstances, but it's the way we respond to the challenge. I used the example the other day of the woman with the issue of blood, because you see, she didn't know Jesus, but she received her healing through touching the hem of his garment. But he stopped and trapped her. She couldn't get away, and she thought no one would know, but here he is now looking right at her, and she can't get away. And even as he's looking right at her, it's at that moment that she came to him, not from him. She doesn't know she's going to lose her life. It's at that moment that there was fear and trembling. But let me tell you something, that's justified fear and trembling, because her communication was very, very effective with Jesus. She did not speak words based in fear. Her heart was not fearful, full of fear. But instead, natural circumstances were real. We, as Christians, we don't deny we have problems. We just establish and train our hearts to cast the cares upon the Lord. We don't deny there's problems. We just refuse to look at the problem to fix the problem. We don't consume our heart with the problem to find out where truth is at. We look to Jesus Christ. We find our life in him. He is our life. And so we train and establish our hearts to walk free of anxiety, because it's our enemy. You want to yield inwardly to the Holy Spirit. You do not want to yield externally to the issues of life, to the point that the only way you determine what truth is to your heart is through your five senses. But instead, you guard your heart, you protect your heart by casting the anxiety, and you listen, you yield inwardly to listen to the Holy Spirit. When your heart gets trained to do that, and you begin to get results, it'll give you confidence. And you'll do it under pressure. Under pressure, the problems that stay on the outside, but you're still relating to the problem. You can see it. You just refuse the anxiety. You don't deny. Denial is not faith. You don't deny there's a problem. You just refuse anxiety. Anxiety is your enemy. 1 Peter 5:7, we cast our cares upon the Lord. So relate to him as Lord. Submit to his lordship. Trust him. Cast the care. Cast the anxiety upon him. We don't take a hold of the problems to determine what truth is to our heart. We cast care. See, men's hearts fail in them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. That is speculation. an expectation, that's speculation. That's not based on actual fact. That's how you interpret the facts. When you go beyond the actual facts of what's happening, and your imagination is vain, and your imagination, which can be exalted against God by taking a hold of life's problems, and you go beyond actual what's happening, and you see the worst, your heart's trained to see bad, even though you want good. We establish our hearts as Christians in the goodness of God, because good is what belongs to us. And your heart will yield to Jesus and yield inwardly to the Holy Spirit for determining truth and reality. When you experience Him for yourself, you'll see it for yourself. It reminds me of China, when the persecution of the church there, and they had meetings where, if you want to know the meetings that you hear from God, because that's the only way they keep the government people from showing up that are there to pretend to be Christians, because they don't hear from God. That'll make your Christian walk real in a hurry. You'll learn to walk on water. Because if you're walking on water, you're not doing it yourself. You're experiencing God. In other words, living life with the dependence of the Holy Spirit is like walking on water. Your heart's trained to rely upon Him, and you instead of relying upon yourself, where automatically you just do it yourself because it's the way you see it. Men's heart fell in them from fear and the expectation of things coming upon the earth. I'm telling you, as Christians, that is not to be in our heart. Fear. Fear is not to be a way of life. But we're going to be ministering to people because of the circumstances of life, that things are going to happen. That great is going to be the fear sometimes in the hearts of people, the things that are happening, the things that are going to happen. But we need, as believers in the body of Christ, to connect to the goodness of God, because our best days are before us. It's powerful what's going to happen. The things we're going to experience, I tell you, it will give your heart confidence, and the natural circumstances will not dominate your heart. Because you're connected to Him, you're getting results, and you're experiencing Him, it will give your heart confidence, and you'll speak words that your heart will back up what your mouth says. Because it'll be real. It won't be just be something you've chosen to believe. It will be real. You'll be experiencing that truth. This is the difference between just living for Him and letting Him live His life through you. Living life with a dependence on the life of Christ from within. This is what we're talking about. But Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Hey, that's the body of Christ. There'll be a condition of many people's hearts trained to live life with a dependence on themselves, that the Spirit of God is not on the inside of them. As Christians, we've got what the world doesn't have. And they need Jesus. They need what's real. But we need to go through the process of change so that all areas of life, relationally, financially, physically, we change to the point that we understand receiving based in Christ, receiving based in the cross. And we come into a place of getting results which will give our heart confidence. And every time you change, then Jesus can work through you more effectively for the benefit of other people as well as for the benefit of your own life. Praise God. My. Well, brother, thank you. I think
awesome. God is so good. You know what? If you need prayer this morning, Cecil's here and would love to pray for you. So if you need prayer, we'd like for you to just come up and he'll be glad to pray for you. And we know the work's already done. So the only thing you are there is to receive. So why don't you just stand this morning and I'm just going to pray for just a moment here. And if you need prayer, come on up and let's believe God as you're coming and that you're receiving. Okay, Father, we thank you today for this word. This word is powerful, God. We receive it into our hearts because that's where change takes place. And God, we thank you for that. God, through those filters that we may have adapted in life through whatever has impacted us, God, we just take off those filters and receive Jesus. Jesus,
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. That's what we receive today. All of his goodness, all of his blessings in our life. We take that into our hearts today. Lord, we see ourselves as healed today. We see ourselves as prosperous. As he is, so are we this morning. Thank you for that word, God. It's just a confirmation, God, that we're not looking to ourselves, but we're looking to you today. Lord, we thank you for the healing. We thank you today for everything, Lord. No one leaving here bound, but everyone free in Jesus today. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Come on up. Praise the Lord. If you would like to receive this morning, come up and receive. God is here. He's able to minister to you this morning. He's able to help you today. Amen. Just stand up here and let Cecil minister to you. Some of you would like to come and gather behind them while he's praying. That'd be wonderful. Come on up closer, guys. Just don't be afraid. It's all right. Come on up here. Praise the Lord. There's several that would like to receive ministry this morning.
If you ever receive Jesus.
Amen.
That's the best decision you'll make for eternity.
Amen.
If you ever received him, I encourage you.
Some of our people, come behind these and stand behind them if you'd like to agree with them today. Just stand behind them. Come on up closer, guys. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you'd like to be prayed for, just right up close here. Amen. 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 God is good. Praise the Lord. He is good. Praise God. Amen. If you'd like to receive this morning, just raise your hands. Those of you that are here to receive, raise your hand. Amen. And Cecil's going to minister to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.